9:30 on a Monday morning, and I get to welcome in Bartlesville City Manager Mike Bailey and members of the staff and or management of the City of Bartlesville. We got the election over with. Good morning, Mr. Bailey.
Good morning, Charlie. You're right. We got the election over with, and things have sort of returned to normal.
Well, yeah. Let's see. This is the federal observance of Veterans Day, so no mail, but you're picking up garbage and leaves.
That's right. We'll be out doing all of our normal stuff, and they'll be doing it in the snow, obviously.
Oh, you're more or less an all-weather operation.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are very much so. But I'm glad that you mentioned the election. I'm glad to see it in our rearview mirror, and we've got the results of all of our local races, of course, and none more important to me than the city council races.
That's right.
And there was actually two contested seats, as anybody who followed it knew. We had Ward 2. John Kane had elected not to run this year, and there was a race there between Paul Stewart and Ramona Colson. Paul Stewart won that one, so he'll be taking John's seat, and this will be effective on December 3rd. He'll be taking that seat. And then the other contested race was Ward 4, of course. That was the race between Joel Rabin and
Alan Jenches.
My gosh, I couldn't think of his last name. I completely got my tongue twisted. I hope you're not listening, boss. Sorry. Alan won that one.
I don't want to put words in Mr. Jenches' mouth, but I think most people, particularly if they're the winner in the election, as long as they won, you can mispronounce their name.
They'll forgive a few things at that point. Yeah. So that means that we've only got one new council member, so we'll have four returning council members, and then we'll be adding Paul Stewart on December 3rd. So I look forward to the next couple of years. I think we can get a lot accomplished, and it was a good race.
It's always nice to hear from the voters, and a good turnout, top to bottom on the ballot.
Really was quite impressive, especially for a midterm. We never know what we're going to get because we're the local election, but we're not. That's not what most people show up to vote for. So,
you think you're saying that more people had something to say about either optometry or governors or something?
It may have been, Charlie. So, but good turnout, and glad to have it behind us. But we do, so of course that means that we've got a reception coming up for anyone who would like to attend. That'll be on December 3rd. And in fact, Elaine handed me some information on it just this morning.
Prior to the city council meeting,
yep,
no doubt.
That's right. It will be prior to the city council meeting. So we will have a reception for the retiring city attorney of this time. Jerry did not want a separate event. He just wanted to be recognized at the time that we also had the council.
I think, you know, city attorney for life is a good thing. You know?
Right, city attorney for life. He wanted us to make the distinction so that anybody, probably in case any of his clients were concerned, he's only retiring from city. He is still going to maintain a small practice, so he didn't want a big deal. So we'll be celebrating the retiring city attorney, Jerry Maddox, and then, of course, the outgoing vice mayor, John Kane. And then we will have, of course, our incoming will be city attorney Jess Kane. And then we'll also have Paul Stewart, as we said, he'll be the incoming council member. And that will be December 3rd at 6 p.m. We're going to do it on the second floor conference room.
Okay.
We think we're going to need a little bit of room to spread out with Jerry's reception.
And I think the friends of his administration over the number of years could number in the thousands.
the length of his stay has led us to believe that we have pretty good attendance. So we're going to move that up. So just as you get off the elevator on the second floor, it'll be set up right there. So
okay.
Feel free to come on by. That's December 3rd at 6 p.m., second floor, City Hall. And as we said, of course, Jess Kane has been named the new city attorney. Jess technically won't take office until January 1st, which is actually Jerry's last day. So we're holding a reception for him, but he'll continue to serve through the end of 2018. And Jess is a local attorney for anybody that doesn't know him. He was selected by the city council. There was two applicants. The council selected him, and of course, he's a practicing attorney. For anybody that's familiar with him, he's been in Bartlesville practicing. I'm sure it's on this piece of paper, but I didn't bother to look at it ahead of time. So I'm going to say he's been here quite a while. I know the city's had several experiences with him, all very good experiences with him representing us in various cases. So the council was very comfortable in naming Jess as that. So
Today is the first day of the free leaf pickup, week
sure
one.
Is. You are exactly right. And with that, I actually have Mr. Keith Henry here with me. And Keith's got a couple things to talk about this morning, but we thought we would start with the free leaf pickup. We've got one right now, Keith, and we've got one up and coming. So
we do. Actually, today is the first one, the week of November the 12th through the 16th. On your normal collection day, if you'll have your leaves and grass clippings and any limbs that you have that are bundled up in 4-foot lengths and don't weigh any more than 50 pounds, when the guys come by and collect the refuse, they'll get those. Now, it will be a separate truck, so don't be alarmed if the automated truck doesn't grab them up. We will have a truck coming by later to acquire those items. So, again, that is this week on your normal trash day, and then again on the week of December the 17th through the 21st. Now, I might remind residents to make sure that you have your refuge out at the curb by 6 o'clock in the morning. We actually had a situation last week where we had some equipment failure, and we got into the areas a little different time schedule, and a lot of people didn't have their trash out, and they were disappointed. They get used to us coming by at a certain time, but by city ordinance, it has to be out by 6 o'clock, so I would suggest you put it out the night before. That way, you don't get missed. So we did make accommodations for that and got those collected. We might also remind people it's holiday season. The holiday schedule will be used upcoming Thanksgiving. We will not work on Thanksgiving Day, so anytime that there's a holiday that falls in that week, you'll be picked up on the Wednesday before the holiday or after, depending on how it falls. But
if it's a Monday holiday, you're on Wednesday after. If it's on Thursday, then you get picked up a day early.
Exactly. Now, on Thanksgiving in particular, we will work on Friday, so that'll be your normal day. We'll still pick you up on Friday.
On the leaf pickup, do the bags have to be real close to where the polycart would be sitting, or as long as it's obvious that you got bags of leaves out there?
Right, just set them out by your polycart where you normally set your cart. Don't put them in the street, but set them out beside it. Give us 4 or 5 foot of clearance from the carts, and again, it'll be a separate truck that'll come by and pick up those items. They do not have to be in clear bags. They can just be in a regular refuge bag. Keep in mind, this is for leaf and grass alone, but it's not. Don't put your garbage out there in a dark bag and think we're going to take it. But it is for leaf and grass only. But those items out.
You would probably know right away by the weight of the bag.
We'll be able to tell, yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Absolutely.
And they will leave it there, I promise.
So moving on, I guess everybody's noticed the snow we've had overnight.
So far, no accumulation on the streets, at least as I can observe it here anyway.
Not bad at all, Charlie. I think the ground temperatures were warm enough that it's, in general, not sticking. The bridges and overpasses, we have a little icing going on those, but again, I don't see that it's been a problem. We have some trucks out on patrol currently that are monitoring those areas, so they are putting out a little salt-sand mixture where needed, but again, it's been very, very little this morning. We also have some crews that are working the city facilities, library, city hall, police stations such as those for pedestrian traffic, putting some ice melt on the sidewalks, monitoring those situations. We do have our crews out, that our equipment's ready. We typically do our preparation work on the week of Thanksgiving. It's kind of the holiday week, kind of our trademark. Normally we'll prep equipment during that week. Hit us a little early this year, but again, the guys, Lance, the guys at the street department, they had the equipment ready to go. Most of our equipment's modern enough that we can have a truck ready in 30 minutes to roll anyway. So we're in good shape. We've got lots of sand and salt stocked up for this year. We've been fortunate in the past few years that we've had light winters. We're hoping not, but it's possibly we might have a good one this year. Who knows? So we'll wait and see.
Many people would say we are due, but without asking for it, we'll just be prepared for whatever comes.
Absolutely. We hope not, but we'll be ready if it does. Just suggest to people that they take their time, drive slow, give yourself lots of clearance between you and the other vehicle. Watch the people around you and just take your time.
And as far as when they see a snowplow machine out, Keith, keep their space from it, obviously, and the reasons for that so that people will understand.
Yeah, we would appreciate that. We usually have signs on the back of our trucks. I believe they say 150 feet clearance.
Yep.
And of course, again, for speed, just for the idea of, not having an accident where you slide into us, we slide into you. And also, those trucks are spreading salt and sand mixture. The truck does have a pretty good radius as far as throwing the material, so you don't want to get too close, or you might get a sandblast job on your nice vehicle that you wouldn't like.
Typically, ODOT and all of their advisories say 200 feet, but obviously, you're traveling slower in town.
A little slower, yeah.
Right. And we might mention that, Charlie, you bring that up. Now, in Bartlesville city limits, we maintain the Bartlesville residential streets and thoroughfares. The highways here in town are maintained by ODOT, so Highway 75, 5, Highway 60, Highway 123, again, you know, Borsten Boulevard, Adams Boulevard, and Hensley Boulevard are maintained by ODOT, so we do not take care of those. The state actually monitors those and does the salting and sanding on those.
It's always nice to get that reminder, because somebody is going to call sometime and say something to the effect of, you guys missed a street. You
know? Absolutely, but we work well together. We help them, they help us, but they do the plowing on those streets. So if you have problems on those areas, that you want to call the ODOT department. And then anything local, you can call our office out at 338-4130 and report those out there. And your situations after hours, the non-emergency number at the PD, I believe it's 338-4001, they can take calls and they'll dispatch our staff out.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys are on the ball, as always.
All right, thank you.
All right, Keith, appreciate it.
You bet.
And with that, we will switch over. We've got Police Chief Tracy Rolls here, and he's got a couple things to talk about. We thought we would start out giving a quick update on any traffic incidents or anything of that nature that may have been related to the weather, and I think we've been pretty fortunate up to this point.
We have. So far, nothing that we can really determine has been weather-related. As always, we battle speed-related type of situations.
Yes, we do.
Dry roads or wet roads?
Dry or wet, doesn't matter. I would encourage people to slow down and properly obey all traffic control devices, whether it's dry or wet. But so far, luckily, people have respected the weather, and we haven't had any weather-related type incidents on the roadways yet.
So we actually do kind of slow down when there's weather.
Maybe. It appears that way, yes. Yes.
On my way in, I can tell you that most people did, but not all did.
Not all. That's correct.
There is always the exception to the rule.
There seems to be the assumption, right, wrong, or otherwise, that because they're driving on a large four-wheel drive vehicle that they're not going to slip and slide and they're not going to get stuck.
Yeah, and that certainly is a misconception.
Yes, it'll help you get going, but it doesn't do much to get you stopped. I learned that in my youth.
And having learned to drive in a climate that slippery, icy, and snow-packed streets were more of a hazard than they are here, if you can spin four tires just as easily as you can spin two.
This is true.
That's very correct.
You can. It's entirely possible. So, well, the chief, how long have you been here now? We got about 40...
A little over a month.
So I think I know you came in with a plan to move slowly and observe and make some changes in the department as necessary, and we had some things that precipitated that. So I know that you've made pretty significant changes inside of the department. I don't know that most citizens would ever notice them, other than that hopefully we are a little more efficient and effective at doing our jobs, which is always our goal. But you have made some changes, of course, that that citizens will notice. I know you are implementing a new online crime reporting system.
Correct. And that's very exciting. What this system does, it allows our citizens to report crimes in a more convenient way for them. Not all crimes. Certainly, if there's an emergency, we still encourage you to call 911. For non-emergency crimes that you feel that you want to see a police officer, continue to call the 338-4001 number. But any crime such as lost property, theft, vandalism, phone harassment, things of that nature, we have an online reporting system now that's just going to make things a little more convenient for our customers. We certainly don't want to make people think that they're under any obligation to report it that way. If you want to call the police department, have an officer come to your residence or come to your business, certainly we would encourage that. But if you don't want a police officer to come to your residence or business and you would like to report this crime via the online option, we would certainly encourage and invite people to do that as well. any crime can be reported via this option, but the ones that we're targeting, again, are the lost property, theft, vandalism, phone harassments, things such as that. So we're very excited to get to be more caught up with technology. Yeah. And give the people of Bartlesville the option, just another reporting tool.
And the link on that, cityofbartlesville.org, under the favorite pages, I forget the how it's called, but it's basically near the bottom of the page.
Correct. Cityofbartlesville.org, popular pages, click on the report a crime option. It'll take you directly to a fillable form. It's very user-friendly, doesn't get real invasive as far as asking a lot of questions, but it really tries to extract the pertinent information so that it can be forwarded on to the police department. And then there's a chance that a police officer will still contact you via phone, but it allows you to you, the citizen, to really report that crime in a more convenient manner.
On lost property, and I'm just asking, is there an option that I'm going to pull it, you know, for instance, a lost or stolen bicycle, for instance, if you can you attach a picture of the bike or anything like that?
You can. And then there's a lot of questions about the description of the property, any identifying marks, numbers, any of the value of the property that was lost. It goes into pretty extensive depth as far as lost property. And even in the narrative part, you can attach photographs or put as much information as that you think is pertinent to that lost item.
All right.
Well, thank you, Chief. And we talked a little bit about speed and speed enforcement earlier in the broadcast. And recently, the city of Bartlesville received a Oklahoma Highway Safety Officer. It's OHSA, I think. And I'm not sure what the A is. Maybe
administration.
Administration. There we go. But it was actually a grant, and the purpose of the grant was to provide overtime for officers so that we could do a little extra speed enforcement. And it was the grant, in case people are curious, it is not tied to fines or revenue or anything of that nature. I know people think that that's the purpose.
They could write warnings or they could give a verbal.
Sure.
All they're saying is that we're paying for the officer's time to do this job.
And the metric that the state uses to measure our success or our failure is actually, I believe, our accident rates, and maybe in particular an injury accident or something of that nature. So ultimately, when people see an officer out enforcing the speed limit, it is not to make money for the city. It really is to slow people down. And we talked to Micah Seamers a couple of weeks ago about how speed limits are set and what the purpose of those are. So when you're exceeding a speed limit, you are creating a safety hazard for yourself and others around you. So that's the real purpose of it. But I thought I'd give the chief a moment. I know we sent out it was almost a warning on Facebook, or it was next door or something of that nature, that we will
and
I
want
to
say
aware.
When the grant came in several weeks ago, it was before the chief was in town.
It was.
Rocky was in talking about it one morning too. So.
Yep, we visited about it briefly. So, but we are enforcing now.
We are. And the one thing that, to mention something to something that you brought up as far as number of citations that we write, historically, we issue a lot more verbal and written warnings than we do citations in the city of Bartlesville. But the grant that you're talking about is specifically to reduce accidents that are caused by excessive speed. Bartlesville being the 12th largest city in the state of Oklahoma per population, that comes with an increased number of people on the road. We've all driven here, and one of the biggest issues as far as drivers go here is excessive speed. So this grant is to pay for overtime for officers to go out and target people who are driving excessively as far as speed is concerned. So you're going to see more officers out. They're going to be working under this grant for their overtime. So this is not money that the citizens of Bartlesville are having to pay or fund. It's coming from this grant. But it is to target those who are driving too fast. So again, I would encourage people, slow down, obey the speed limits. And again, it's not a revenue generator. It's a public safety issue.
And I assume, and that's always a bad thing for news people to do, that we are just as likely to see you in the residential neighborhoods as we are on Frank Phillips, for instance.
That is correct. Now, the target of this grant is the high visibility areas, but that does not preclude us from being in the residential areas where the public safety issue could really go up with excessive speed, because kids are playing, people are walking, families are out enjoying the beautiful scenery that we have here, and we don't want people speeding through those neighborhoods. So again, I would just encourage people to slow down, pay attention to the speed limit signs. And even on days like today, even if the speed limit is posted at 40 miles an hour, it doesn't mean that you should drive 40 miles an hour.
It's not a minimum, it's a maximum.
That's correct. And I would encourage you to slow down even more and respect the conditions as well.
All right. Well, thank you, Chief. I appreciate that, and we'll hopefully start to see some results from that safety grant and get people to slow down and maybe reduce the number of accidents, and I'm certain that we could all appreciate that. All right, and with me, we also have Terry Lauritsen. We brought a whole host of them in here, Charlie.
I don't know how you fit them all in here. A literal joining us in studio.
It was. So I've got Terry Lauritsen. He is the former city engineer and current water and wastewater utilities director, and we drug him back into his role as a former city engineer for one of the projects that's out there. Charlie, as you know, we just issued about $10 million in bonds, so there was a lot of projects. And to ensure their timely and efficient execution, we've kind of got Terry back into the project design side of this. And in particular, the downtown green space project, unnamed green space project. Yeah,
old engineers just fade away.
So. They do, but some really need to, but, like myself. Yeah.
But thought we'd bring Terry in to give a quick update on it because the council just took action on this about a week ago.
Well, they did, Mike, and they approved the concept that they had a committee that they had formed roughly about 5-6 months ago, more or less, that really gained or gathered a lot of public input, listened to a lot of people as far as what they wanted to see with the space. They had a group from Taliesin, the architectural school, come in and do some charrettes, which is a new word that I learned.
It was new for me as well.
Usually when somebody said that, I thought they were saying something inappropriate, but I guess that's an okay word. But it is
in Arizona and in Wisconsin. We're not sure about Omaha.
We'll find out.
That's right. But I think it was a good, very open and public process and a lot of great ideas that came from it. The committee ended up with a green space that they presented to council on last Monday, and council approved that green space. So it has what they call the wild side, the performing arts type side, and then kind of a common area for kids to play in and just for general use. So it's going to be a lot of elements in it, and we're looking forward to kind of moving forward with it. But with the approval of that concept, now we'll start getting into the detailed portion of it. And so we're getting professional service contracts in place, and we'll take that to council at their first meeting in December to get that kicked off and moving forward, and probably roughly 2-4 months possibly for design, and then we'll move on to construction.
And of course, once we get the bids in, then we'll have a better idea of what the schedule looks like. I know there's some hope, perhaps, that this will be open a year from now. It for that to happen, everything would have to fall into line exactly perfect. It would be a challenge.
And I think the biggest challenge would be in getting the grass and the landscaping established, and more particularly the grass. So
yep.
You don't want to lay sod and then have an event
that's
within
right.
a week. That's going to be a recipe for disaster. So that's one of the things that we'll visit with the consultants about is timing and how we can phase that project. And so we're looking forward to it, and we'll certainly shoot for that that goal for next year. And we may be able to get there kind of depending on how things are able to shake out with the components of it and the designs for it.
And it as far as amenities and things that are actually included in it, we have the fountain is going to be preserved, the existing fountain there.
Yep.
Will be preserved in some form or fashion. There will be a stage, a raised stage in there for a performance venue with, we believe, some sort of cover. We don't know exactly what that's going to be yet. There will be the water feature that a lot of people had discussed will not be included in this phase. That is something that has always been intended to be considered in future phases,
yep.
Depending on the usage of the facility. Mostly open spaces, not a lot of fixed seating and things of that nature, so mostly open spaces, some mature trees so that hopefully this, rather than planting those little the sticks that you get on Arbor Day, we're going to plant some trees that are probably 15, 20 feet in height.
Yeah, something that will actually provide some shade
right off
the bat, yeah.
So quite a space, it really is. I know that it's one of the more exciting options as far as what people, when we did the last GO bond, this was probably I don't know that it was the highest priority, but it was the highest profile project that we had. So the council and the committee have certainly moved rather quickly, frankly, as quickly as I think they could have, and still receive the amount of public input that they did.
I just, far from controversial on the bond issue, but it's certainly one of the more talked about issues.
Yeah. It definitely was, and I truly appreciate the way that the committee went about this. There was at least 2 town hall style meetings at the community center that were solely called. It wasn't for the committee business. It was literally just to hear from the public and talk to them about the things that they wanted to see in this space, and a lot of great conversation. One of the things that came from that was preserving the fountain, which I think early on was not in the initial sketch plan. So,
mm-hmm.
it is a great project, and we certainly look forward to it and appreciate Terry stepping back down into downtown to help us out with this one. The $10 million worth of projects is a lot of projects for the city of Bartlesville. So
it's a long ways from the Ted Locken Water Treatment Plant. So
that's right. Of course, if we do that, he'll be in charge of that one as well. So he's got his own things coming down the pipe dealing with wastewater. So, all right. Well, thank you, Terry. I appreciate you joining us today. And to wrap up the show, I have Miss Betty Keim with me, and I hope I said that right.
Yes,
I meant to ask you before we walked in. I thought I had it right. And Betty is the History Museum Education Coordinator.
Correct.
And so she's got some museum programs and quite a bit of cool stuff going on there that we thought we'd wrap up the program talking about today.
Right.
So it's all yours, Betty.
Thank you. With Veterans Day, we're going to be having the Movie Monday, and it's a salute to the to America's World War II heroes. It'll be from noon to 1 today, and it characterizes the sacrifices of Oklahoma residents who served in all branches of the service
That's
during
awesome.
World War II. And that should be really good. So get out, even though we have the snow, and
That's
enjoy.
The road, you just heard it. The roads are clear. Drive slow. You can go see a movie at lunch today.
That's right. And also, next Monday, I'm going to be having a program from 1 until 2:30. It's a special free program on Thanksgiving traditions. And it's going to help the teach the kids from a second grade through 6th about the history of Thanksgiving. And also, there's misconceptions, and you know, we're going to find fun and interesting ways to find out about that. If you're interested, you need to call the museum at 918-338-4290 to register. And of course, it's on the 5th floor of the City Hall. And we're going to be having, you know, different questions that we're going to try and answer. Like, what kind of food did they have during, you know, the Thanksgivings from today all the way back to the first? And also, was that, you know, we always think of the Pilgrims, but was that really the first Thanksgiving? And no, it wasn't. In St. Augustine, Florida, they had a Thanksgiving mass for, you know, being able to land in Florida.
Oh,
and
wow.
They were going to be setting up a, you know, a fort and things like that. And then there was another one in Virginia, what would become Virginia, also before that time.
Here I was going to make a flippant remark that Anita Bryant came out with some orange juice for him. I'm sorry.
But anyway, and like the mother of Thanksgiving, people don't even know about her, Josepha Hale. She was trying to get people to celebrate a national Thanksgiving for years, from the late 1700s all the way up through the mid 1800s. Sorry about that. And anyway, and also pardoning the turkey. Do we know that Abraham Lincoln actually pardoned his son's first his turkey? And then, of course, later on, we had the pardoning of the turkey, you know, as a regular.
Yeah. No,
there were some
regular
political
event.
Cartoons in the Lincoln Museum and Library in Springfield, Illinois, that if you go there, you can see the press lampooned Lincoln throughout his entire career. But he was, I think, overall much more unpopular than our current president. They made a big deal of pardoning the turkey.
Right. And anyway, there's a lot of different types of things, like when did the first football game on Thanksgiving start? And what's great is the Ragamuffin Day. Nobody, you know, I had never heard of it until I started researching. But in the early 1900s, the children would dress up like hobos, and they would go down the streets, and they would ask for pennies. And lo and behold, the person that did not have any pennies in his pocket during that day. And so we're going to be having a scavenger hunt that deals with that. And then they will get a ragamuffin doll. And also we'll have a parade with helium balloons. So we've got lots of great things. We'd love to have you come out. You know, so
and all of these will occur at the Bartlesville History Museum, 5th floor of City Hall. And this one in particular is next Monday, you said?
Yes, next Monday from 1 until 2:30.
From 1 to 2:30.
So just call and sign up.
We'd love to have you all join us. That's right. All right. Thank you, Betty. Appreciate you joining us today. And Charlie, as always, thank you.
We always appreciate you bringing in members of the staff in to keep us updated on what's going on in and around the community. Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Charlie.
All right. That is a City Matters program on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. As the chief said, slow down, drive carefully. But in general, the roads are in good shape.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KWON Bartlesville.